Text 10, chapter 13. Etavat yatmajai vira.
Etavat yatmajai vira.
Karya yapyachatir gra.
Karya yapyachatir gra.
Shaktya pramataya vriyeta.
Shaktya pramataya vriyeta.
Sadaram gatamatsarai.
Sadaram gatamatsarai.
Etavati.
Etavati.
Just exactly like this.
Just exactly like this.
Atmajai.
Atmajai.
By the offsprings.
By the offsprings.
Vira.
Vira.
O hero.
O hero.
Karya.
Karya.
Should be performed.
Should be performed.
He. Certainly.
Certainly.
Apachatihi.
Apachatihi.
Worship.
Gara,
unto the superior.
Shaktya,
with full capacity. Apramatai,
by the same.
Grihyeta, should be accepted. Sa adaram, with great delight. Gata matsarai, by those who are beyond the limit of envy. Translation. O hero, your example is quite befitting a son in relationship with his father. This sort of adoration for the superior is required. One who is beyond the limit of envy and who is sane, small thing, accepts the order of his father with great delight and executes it to his full capacity. Report by Srila Prabhupada. When the four previous sons of Brahma, the sages Sanaka, Sanatana, Sanandana, and Sanat Kumar, refused to obey their father, Brahma was mortified, and his anger was manifested in the shape of Rudra. That incident was not forgotten by Brahma, and therefore the obedience of Manu Svayambhuva was very encouraging. From the material point of view, the four sages' disobedience to the order of their father, from the material point of view, was certainly abominable. But because such disobedience was for a higher purpose, they were free from the reaction of disobedience. Those who disobey their fathers on material grounds, however, are surely subjected to disciplinary reaction for such disobedience. Manu's obedience to his father on material grounds was certainly free from envy. And in the material world, it is imperative for ordinary men to follow the example of Manu. So, text 10 again. Etavat yatmajayar vira karya yapachatir grau shaktya pramatayar griyeta sadaram gatamatsarai. O hero, your example is quite befitting a son in relationship with his father. This sort of adoration for the superior is required. One who is beyond the limit of envy and who is sane accepts the order of his father with great delight and executes it to his full capacity. This text 10 is amplifying and following a logical line of conclusion from the previous verse. Second line of what Brahma is saying to refer to the previous verse. Lord Brahma said, "My dear son, O Lord of the world, I am very pleased with you and I desire all blessings for both you and your wife. You have without reservation surrendered yourself unto me with your heart for my instructions." So this is the previous verse, text 9 is the Brahma's pinpointing why he is satisfied with Manu. And in this verse, he's mentioning that again and then indicating what are the consequences, the positive consequences of such pleasing behavior. So, Nirvyalikena Hrida. Nirvyalika. This phrase appears in certain places again and again in the Bhagavatam and our teachings of devotion. Nirvyalika indicates without pretense. So, ahaituki apratiyata yatma supraziditi. Without hetu, without cause, or unmixed with something selfish. That's without pretense. So with pretense is mixed. It's using Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's phrase, it's dovetailing. I want, Krishna wants, very nice. I do what I want because it matches what Krishna wants. Dovetail. And Nirvyalika is Krishna wants. And that determines what I want. Distinction is clear? Dovetailing is a... I did a little research. Dovetailing is a carpentry term, when you join one piece of wood with another piece of wood, and their way of making notches in the wood such that it's even stronger than one piece of wood. I think there may be other uses, but that's one use, a carpentry term. Joining one piece, so there's our desire and there's Krishna's desire, and dovetailing is we just do what we like to do conveniently because Krishna also likes that. And that's with selfish interest. That's not this Nirvyalika kind of purpose. Brahma is putting the point on the fact that Manu had no interest for himself. He came before, like Prabhupada would speak, about Sanatan Goswami coming before Lord Chaitanya like a blank slate. You just write on me. Who am I? What's my purpose? And that becomes my purpose. And who am I? Just tell me, who am I? I'm ready. Go do it one more time. The other is, I've got my idea, and let's hear what your idea is. And those things that match up with my idea with your idea, then I dovetail my idea with your idea, and that's devotional service. That's mixed devotional service. There's a very nice purport that, or a commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that I want to insert right in the beginning part of this presentation. It comes from the 10th canto, chapter 87, very long chapter of the Bhagavatam, Prayers by the Personified Vedas. In this purport, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is micro-analyzing, very, very carefully analyzing, assessing, how does the hearing process work to bring one to the position of transcendence. Because we know from the Bhagavatam, from the first canto, the hearing process gradually moves one from the lower modes of nature, to passion and ignorance, to the quality of goodness. But the Srimad Bhagavatam, the gift of Srimad Bhagavatam is to deliver us to transcendence. So, how does it work? How do you go beyond this dovetailing program to a completely surrendered program? The other word in text 9 is Atma Anarpitam. Atma Anarpitam is very similar to Atma Nivedanam, or sometimes it's Atma Samarpitam. Full surrender. Full surrender from the heart, not from the mind. Full surrender from the heart. That becomes possible through the hearing process. Sincerity, the qualification, the eligibility of a candidate for devotional service, those of you that know Nectar of Devotion, is one's eagerness to have that relationship with Krishna, or its sincere desire. Remember Sahotra Prabhu giving this the Latin root of sincere is sincere, which means unmixed, taken from marble that doesn't have any lines in it, like our floor. It has, this white marble has lines in it. So the deity is without lines in it. That's skire. So there's nothing mixed. Not what's in it for me, consciousness. What do I get out of it, consciousness? It's what's your interest, and that becomes my interest, consciousness. That's called love. How to approach that position of a transcendental loving, dealing with Krishna through the process of hearing. That's exciting. To go beyond goodness, which is religiosity, because here there's language about material in the purport. Accept obedience on material grounds. How that can be transcendental. So here's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. The frame of it is that chapter 87 of the 10th canto is Maharaj Parikshit asking a very significant question. He's saying to Shukadeva Goswami, I've heard all the 9 cantos, I've heard the whole 10th canto. I've heard everything about Krishna's pastimes. And my consciousness is completely fixed upon the personality of Godhead. I'm ready. Let that snake bird come, or whatever's going to happen. I'm ready. But I have a doubt. How did this happen? Because what's been going on is you're using something material, your tongue, and I'm using something material, my ear, and we got to this spiritual place. How can you use something material to get to something spiritual? That's my doubt. I know what I'm experiencing. Fixed. But how did it happen? And Shukadeva Goswami says, very nice question. Such a nice question. It was asked long ago by many sages. And when those sages were discussing, they were saying, oh, this is such a nice question. It was discussed long ago. Meaning it's a classic question. And the 4 Kumaras were discussing with the personified Vedas this very question. And then the topic is the longest chapter in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a deep subject. So using something material to get to a spiritual place, you know, that's a core teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as captured by Rupa Goswami. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yuktam Vairagya Uchite. How does it work though? So they're discussing the one of the essences that they speak about is the mind fixed upon Krishna. The short answer, it's a long chapter, the short answer is everything comes from this ultimate source, Krishna. So those things which come from Krishna, when used in service to Krishna, they take on a spiritual quality. The tongue becomes spiritualized, ear becomes spiritualized, and that can carry you to a spiritual place. But then they very deeply, because the Kumaras are very, they like discussing spiritual topics. That's what they do. They're the Lord's Gyan Shakti. Shakti Vesh Avatars. And they like discussing with qualified people, so personified Vedas. Very, very lively discussion. And some of the personified Vedas are saying the essence is where the mind goes, not just what the tongue and what the ear do, but fixing the mind. And then, so how do you fix the mind? So they describe different ways of fixing the mind. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary says some of the more elevated Upanishads, just like we find this same type of thing in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there are levels of Upanishads. So the Gopala Tapani Upanishad and others of the most elevated Upanishads interrupt this dialogue and saying, no. You're talking about taking some kind of mechanical process of fixing the mind, as in the Ashtanga Yoga process, fixing the mind in a mechanical way. No. That's not at all necessary. In the process of bhakti, it's not at all necessary. The one thing that's necessary is just what's being described in this verse. The nirvyalikena atma samarpanam riddhi, the quality of manu, from his heart, unpretentiously, meaning without any other purpose, without any other motive, ahaituki bhakti, Brahma, what is that service you'd like me to do? Blank check, I'm ready. The same nirvyalika comes a little bit later in the same canto when Swayambhuva Manu goes to visit Kardava Muni. And Swayambhuva Manu reaches the hermitage of Kardava Muni, and Kardava Muni just glorifies Swayambhuva Manu and says, I don't know why you've come to this deep in the forest position where's my hermitage, but you're the Lord of the universe, you're the Manu controlling the whole universe, and so there must be some purpose for your coming here. And he gives him a blank check. He says, whatever it is that you want. Nirvyalikena, same exact word. Whatever you want, I'm prepared. This is so without pretense. Prabhupada explains it there as well. Or when Brahma undergoes his austerities, he receives this instruction tapa and he performs his tapa. Nirvyalika. He's just inquiring about who am I? Same as Sanatana Goswami. Who am I? What is my purpose of existence? How am I to perform it? Please instruct me, I'm ready. So now we'll go to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. So this essence, just putting the point on it one more time, this unrestricted, unconditional, unqualified surrender, ready to very, very carefully understand what the instruction is and bring it into the world of action. Perform it as you wish. That submission, like in the language of Bhagavad Gita, tadviti pranipatena, pranipat, unconditional submission. Here is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. Vishwanath is paraphrasing the Upanishad, Gopala Tapani Upanishad, saying how the hearing process works to bring one transcendence is this submission to two things, that the source of the message, ultimately it's Krishna, but the deliverer of the message and the message itself. Here's what he writes. The idea here is that one should directly see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because when one's mind is fixed upon him, just like Dhruva, his mind was fixed upon him under the order of Narada, and he was chanting Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. As he was fixed like that, the Lord appeared within his heart, and then he appeared before him. So that's the goal. Prabhupada would often teach us, when the goal is clearly identified, it's very easy to make the steps to reach the goal. But if you don't have a very clearly identified goal, good luck. Try to reach there. Where is there? Well, life is a search. Life is a journey. Sometimes people would speak like this with Prabhupada. Sometimes we hear it too. Life is but a journey. Journey to where? Life is but a journey. Like Professor Stahl and his argument that the essence of the Vedas is yajna, and ask the question, yajna unto whom? And the answer is, no unto whom. Yajna. One of our devotees in Connecticut met one of Professor Stahl's students. He was in a classroom giving a University of Bridgeport, Connecticut, giving an introduction to an anthropology class on Krishna consciousness. It was one of his students in the classroom. And the devotee didn't put the diacritics under Krishna's name, so after class was over, this, very strong, proud man went up and put the diacritics under Krishna's name. And the devotee couldn't understand. Oh, he knows Sanskrit. And then he said, why are you telling people the essence of the Vedas is to know Krishna? The essence of the Vedas is yajna. And the devotee said, well, that's very nice. Yes, Krishna speaks about yajna in Bhagavad Gita, but yajna unto whom? And the answer was, not unto whom. He's repeating what his professor taught him. Yajna. So what's the goal? Yajna. Unto whom? No, unto whom. Good luck getting there. Define the goal as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has done. The idea here is that one should directly see the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the condition of love. The heart needs to be transformed for that to happen. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanina. How do we get there? Through the hearing process. How does it work? The means for achieving this are then stated. First, one must hear from a bona fide guru and take the words of such a spiritual master into one's heart, just as described in yesterday's verse. Taking the words into Srinvanti Gayanti Grinanti Sadhavaha. Grinanti. Take the words into your heart, seated right with the soul. touching the soul, moving the soul. And how does one offer the proper regard for the source of that knowledge, a method, instruction, and the instruction itself? By offering him humble service and striving in all ways to please him. This is what Manu's disposition is, just as Radhanath Maharaj was describing. Service, please. Some service. What is it that you want? I'm ready. Striving by all means to please. One should then continuously ponder the divine message of the spiritual master with the aim of dispelling all doubts and misconceptions. This is where the listening from the mind instead of from the heart doesn't take us to the position of transcendence, because the mind has so many filters. We have our conceptions of life, and they're not spiritual because we're conditioned souls. So we hear according to our conceptions. And what goes in is what matches our conceptions, just like Polaroid lenses. What doesn't go in is certain, you know, types of light don't enter, because there's filters that keep them. There's light, but you don't get the full light with filters. And our conceptions, material conceptions of life, act in that way. We accept, we hear what we want to hear. And we don't hear what we don't want to hear. And even that which we hear is how we want to hear it. And then we go on with devotional service. But that's mixed. So what's the instruction of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is, same as Prabhupada's instruction, we should consider very carefully from different angles of vision, what is this instruction that I've received? What is it that our founder Acharya wants? And part of coming together in Sangha, like we do here in Mayapur, is to see as other devotees or other sadhus are seeing the instructions. So the operative thing from our side is the desire to connect with that instruction. We want to make sure we know what the instruction is, because over on this side is the desire to do it, whatever it is. And when that desire to serve and the attempt to very carefully assimilate grinanti, the message, and bring it within the core of the heart, what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes is then the contaminations of heart, the coverings of the soul, are removed. And when the coverings of the soul are removed, then one can, with fixed concentration, stay. Here's what he says. Then one can proceed to meditate on Sri Krishna's lotus feet with total concentration and determination, which is what is being described here by Lord Brahma in the verse that we recited this morning. Etavat yatmajayar vira karya yapachatir gurau. This is apachatir, is the disposition of wanting to, literally it means worship. In the translation, Prabhupada has used adoration. It's the sense of gratitude, the sense of, I've received something very, very wonderful. And I don't even have the qualification to understand how wonderful it is. But there's trust. I trust Srila Prabhupada, the deliverer of this message, and those representing Srila Prabhupada, to give such a wonderful, wonderful gift. Now, with the desire to understand what that gift is and to bring it into the world of action, then this transformation of heart takes place, where these enemies of the conditioned soul, here's one of them, pramatha, this state of madness. So it's apramatha or sane. Then there's insane. So we have our common sense of what sane and insane is, but the Vedic sense of sane and insane is just like the instructions from Rishadeva. Nunam pramata kurute vikarma. The state of madness is when one accepts that a life of sense gratification, whether it's karma or vikarma, the life of sense gratification, this is happiness. Thinking like that is madness. And apramatha means sane. One has put that to the side, like dispensed with it. And the focus now is something else. So it's not the dovetail, bringing my idea of enjoyment and happiness into the realm of Krishna's service. Leaving that off, rejecting that pursuit or sense, that conception of what happiness really is, and accepting the conception of happiness as being in our constitutional position of a servant to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And not just in the mind, but where there's nothing that's going to change that. There's no test or tribulation where we reach our breaking point, or some allurement where we say, well, Krishna must want it, and go for it. Or just unthinkingly go along the path of devotional service. So it's where there isn't any deviation. This comes from the hearing process. So we're getting an opportunity again and again and again through the Bhagavatam to come to that position. And Gata Matsarai. Gata Matsarai is those who are beyond the limit of envy. So there's the situation is, there's the son and the father. Or Prabhupada is transforming this by his use of language to the subordinate and the superior. So we have so many superiors. In fact, we're being trained to see everyone as our superiors and to address them as Prabhu. So how to have proper regard in the heart towards so many other persons who we see as our Prabhu. And one who is beyond the limit of envy. So this is Manu's qualification. And we're being encouraged to follow Prabhupada's last line of the purport. It is imperative for ordinary men to follow the example of Manu. So what's the example of Manu? He has no envy in his heart. He simply wants to serve. There's a very nice purport in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam where Srila Prabhupada is borrowing from Jiva Goswami's Bhakti Sandarbha, and he's describing how the process of hearing and chanting the holy name acts. Same point, to bring one to transcendence. So Jiva Goswami is detailing different levels of devotees. And one level of devotee he describes is those who just like to serve. And that's a nice quality. They just like to serve. This service, that service, doesn't matter designation. This service, because I have no I let go of all designations. Just service. So that's a very nice qualification. Because especially when one has that mood of service and one is in good association, then one is connected with service that carries one to transcendence. But this commodity or quality of faith is so important. Because, again, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's definition of faith is one has unflinching faith in the instructions of the spiritual master. This is the secret to success in spiritual life. You take the instruction of the spiritual master as your life and soul. You can't separate yourself from that instruction. That carries one. Krishna means Krishna carries one to the transcendental position. There's no envy. The material world has envy, and so there's always some kind of calculation. How I can move up. How I can something. Gain something. The fruitive mentality. So all those contaminations of the soul, coverings of the soul, are removed by the proper hearing process. So it's about to come. Manu has submitted himself completely to Lord Brahma. Very much like, so one other point, very much like the Prachetas. When the Prachetas heard from their father, King Prachinibari, some similar instruction, I'd like you to qualify yourselves to produce good progeny. And the answer was, yes, sir. And Prabhupada's comment is, because of their obedience to their father, later on, as they're simply going to execute the instruction of their father, it's not, oh, this is something that we wanted, therefore it's very nice. It's whatever he wants. That's very nice. And so they went to perform austerities for 10,000 years. And so their lifetime is long, 100,000 years, but that's like supposing someone, some of the grihasthas were given some blessing from their spiritual master to conceive children. Then you took 10 years out of your life to qualify yourself to have good children. That's what it would be equivalent to. So they're going off to qualify themselves to have good praja. And Lord Shiva comes from out of the lake and says to them, very rare is it for someone to see me, but I've come before you because I'm very pleased by this quality that you have, this quality of being submissive to the indication of your father. You pleased me very much by this quality, so I've come before you, and I want to give you something. I want to give you the means that you can achieve spiritual perfection. Not just undergo the austerities to get the purification so you can produce good children, but realize the goal of life. I want to give you that gift. And he gives them the stotra by which he meditates upon the personality of Godhead and has achieved perfection. He's giving them that gift. And when we receive the gift, just like we receive the gift of Prabhupada's teachings, his instructions, the teachings of the cyclic succession, the teachings of how we have access to Jiva Goswami's, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's, or any of the great personalities who are disclosing things, without the mercy of our spiritual master. So that's what's apachatir garao. Worship of the spiritual master, Prabhupada has said here, the superior. Then it can act in a transcendental way. So that's how the hearing process works. We're finding in the Bhagavatam here, Brahma's ready to give instruction that's going to give the whole life direction to Manu, and Manu's ready to receive it. And so the point that Prabhupada makes in the conclusion of the purport is, although the submission to Brahma is for something material, it's going to act in a spiritual way because there's no envy in his heart. He's fully prepared to accept whatever the indication is in the proper mood of service. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah.
We have 2 minutes for questions about our hands. Mahajyoti?
Regarding this point about dovetailing, it's an excellent point.
Confirm. Karma Yoga, which Ramananda Roy says that's external. Go further. Dravida, you had your hand up. I hope I can answer it.
Sorry. We see same kind of dilemma or same kind of phenomena we have here where the four Kumaras refuse the first act, the instruction to propagate, and that makes Rama angry. Now we have Manu submitting.
Saying yes.
And that's yes. And but at the same time we have the Kumaras, they did a good thing too. And so
for a higher purpose.
Yeah. But now later on a similar thing happens with the Aryastras and the Shabalasras.
Yeah.
And Narada Muni convinces them that Daksha is trying to fulfill his duty of propagating.
Yeah.
And he gets angry. Right?
Yeah.
So what's good and what's bad here?
Okay. We need Narada Munis. Because Narada Muni, very important in that whole drama, first thing Narada Muni did was he examined the candidate to see what's their qualification. Daksha just had a desire. He wanted them to help him with his desire. Narada wanted to examine their qualification. When he saw what their qualification was, he gave them the appropriate service to Krishna, position of service to Krishna. Both times. He did the same thing with Dhruva. He examined Dhruva as something that a qualified follower of Narada, a preacher of Krishna consciousness, needs to do. We need to examine the quality before giving some instruction. That's a responsibility that an instructor has. That's a nice point. Nice point. I don't know how to answer that question. You want to answer that question? No. The question was, did Brahma not examine the four Kumaras? And someone over here is saying, well, Brahma had a purpose. Ramaya Swami is saying, Brahma had a purpose.
He had a service because of Krishna.
Okay.
So he was engaging as he was instructed by Krishna.
Brahma was engaging the Kumaras according to the instruction he had gotten from Lord Vishnu. And the Kumaras said no. Paladananda Swami. Lively discussion this morning. Careful.
Even if you do examine your subordinates, that there is a realm your intelligence doesn't really go beyond that. So sometimes you have to take a chance and then you learn.
Okay. That's us. Then there's Brahma, there's Narada, and other qualified people.
Well, I guess the Bhagavad shows us that even Lord Brahma has a
thing. Okay. Thank you very much. That's Vishuddha Sattva. Then Mahajyoti, if we have time.
There were a good reason why the four Kumaras were Brahmachari, better Brahmachari. They reject the order of the Brahma because...
We know why they reject it, but the question is, why did Brahma instruct them different than their qualification, their capacity.
Yeah, I understood, but I wanted to make a point because the can also properly say the purpose. If you give this up to follow the Father of faith, because you want your reason for higher purpose, you can get because you want to engage in the original sense.
Yeah.
But I can't.
There was no contamination on their part. That's correct.
Yes.
Mahadhuti, then.
All right, just to start please with your question. Now, this unconditional submission, it's a deep act of faith.
Yes, yes.
So, is that with Krishna's guidance? Or is that mostly by our own discrimination or independence? How does Krishna help our independence align in the right way?
The Krishna helps those who are sincere, and that's the faith of the sincere. Our, just like Kaladananda Maharaj indicated, our capacity is limited, but there's faith in Krishna. He's unlimited, and he can guide our directing of our faith. So our intelligence is limited, and limited intelligence says we need a superior intelligence of Krishna. There's somebody else that had their hand up. You got a lot of hands up. Okay.
The other explanation is that sometimes Krishna arranges personalities like Lord Brahma and Lord Kumara to set examples from the universe. In other words, Lord Brahma and Lord Kumara, sometimes they reenact things that set the standards so everyone else learns what the standards are.
Very nice. Very nice. Sureshwar?
Thank you, Mark. We came here very deliberate. Very deliberate delivery.
This is our last question, by the way.
The next one, Mahadhuti Prabhu's question, 927, that Roshi, and you've identified that as the Bhakti Lamal Karma Yoga. In the last chapter, Krishna also appears to be advocating dovetailing when he says, now hear from me how every man can become perfect by following his qualities of work, and then the next verse, by worship of the Lord, who is all pervading and who is the source of all beings. Man can perform his own duty, attain perfection.
Sure.
And then finally, 1866, of course, Sarvadharma, for instance. So my question is, when is dovetailing progressive and when is it intermittent?
I'll give a short answer.
Okay.
When we know what the goal is. Or when we're guided by Rupa Goswami and his teachings. When we're Rupanugas, then it's progressive. Brahma Samhita text 61 discusses this point. Brahma also has a desire. He wants to create a universe. And he asks Lord Vishnu, is this going to interfere with, you know, my service to you? And the answer is no. Provided that it's connected properly with the hearing and chanting process, that is, you're clear, you maintain a fixed concentration upon the goal, then it's not an interference. It acts, probably the purport of Bhaktisiddhanta says, it acts to be as purifying as the direct nine processes of devotional service. That's provided that. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada.